tangent. I spoke last week on the whole from Egypt to Canaan, I believe. And this morning I want to continue on that and finish. And I want to say, while we were worshiping, I was really feeling that I should say this from the beginning. Now they say pastors shouldn't preach like this, but I almost want to do this. And that is, I believe, as I've been reading through the Bible, just really a lot more in the last while, that if God's truths, it's difficult for Afrikaners to say that, truths, anyway, when that sinks into you, into your heart, it's not brain knowledge, it's not head knowledge, but when it sinks in here, it changes your life automatically. There's a sermon that Lucille Mates, Pastor Fred's wife, preached. That's another difficult word. Anyway, and she said that if you listen to this, to the sermon, and it just, the truth is revealed to you and it sinks into your heart, it will change your life already. And I feel, I mean, I don't think this is a wonderful message or anything, but if that's what I'm going to share this morning, I want you to take it. I want you to think about it. If you can take this, make it your own, your life can be changed today. Now, normally in a church service, there's lots of different type of people. There are people that actually don't know Jesus yet, and we're really blessed if people like that come to our churches because we want to share the good message of Jesus Christ. So for you, the message would mean something different or have a different significance. But even for Christians, even for people that do believe, you know, there's this story in Ezekiel where it speaks of, I think it's Ezekiel, of the river. And you can stand on the outside of the river and see the river. Then you can go a little bit deeper, ankle deep, and oh, it's nice. You can feel the river. Then you can go a little bit deeper, up to here. You can still stand. You're still in control. But then you can also go in where you cannot control it anymore. And now that people normally use that scripture as our relationship with the Holy Spirit or just our relationship with God in general. How much do we want to follow Him? We can decide, really, because God is not going to throw you in that river and say, swim. He's going to ask you, I'd like you to come in completely. And I'd like you to let go of everything so that I can control your life. But we really decide that. So for us, we can be at different stages, and we are at different stages, all of us here this morning. But I'm telling you and I'm asking you, that if you take this seriously this morning, you can make a shift from either being ankle deep to wherever you allow God to go in your life. It's like Cecilia said, sometimes we want to control it. You know, it's, many times it starts with finances, but we'd like to control the finances. I can tell you that you can even tithe and still control. Now, Jesus doesn't ask us to give more or anything like that, but He wants us to relinquish control. Amen. Are you all with me? Did you have a nice long weekend, which is still not finished? Praise God. The internet says the swell will be picking up. So tomorrow I will be surfing in Jesus' name. My mother and sister was here. They were here for a wedding. Did you see the wedding there on the beach last night? That was my nephew's niece. Cousin. That was my cousin's wedding. It was one of those. It was really nice. Okay. A wanderer or a conqueror? I'm going to read Exodus 11 verse 1. Now this was just before, or this was during the first Passover where Jesus, where God instigated the whole Passover thing. And we spoke about Passover now. That's what we celebrate this weekend. We don't celebrate Easter. We celebrate Passover. But for us, and I do think the Afrikaans church, or that's, you know, I actually like what they celebrate. They celebrate Good Friday and then Ascension Day on Monday, because Jesus also, like Carol read, it was on Passover when He shared the communion with his disciples, because Jesus is our Passover. Anyway, Exodus 11 verse 1. This is now in Egypt, and I must get off this Egypt story, but today is the last one. Now the Lord said to Moses, one more plague I will bring on Pharaoh and on Egypt. After that, he will let you go from here. When he lets you go, he will surely drive you out from here completely. Now the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, this month shall be the beginning of months for you. It is to be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, they are each one to take a lamb from themselves, according to their father's households, a lamb for each household. Verse 9, do not eat any of it raw or boiled at all with water, but rather roast it with fire, both its head and its legs, along with its entrails. And you shall not leave any of it over until morning, but whatever is left until morning you shall burn with fire. Now you shall eat it in this manner, with your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. I want us to concentrate on that part today, that verse 11. You shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Let me read verse 11 again. You shall eat it in this manner, with your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. What I want you to see here is 430 years of bondage in Egypt. Lots of plagues, God coming through for his people, but Pharaoh still does not let them go to where God wants them to go. Then God says, tonight's the last plague. Prepare yourself. It's going to be the Passover. But get this, it's a whole nation there. And he says, you must, when you partake of this Passover, be ready. You must go tomorrow. You are leaving tomorrow. So this, it's a picture of a whole nation. It's just not, it's not another night. It's not another evening. It's not another, whatever, Friday or a Saturday evening. It's something different. It is God saying, I've now had enough. Okay? You have been in bondage far too long, for 430 years. It stops tonight. I've hardened Pharaoh's heart so many times. This is the last plague. Tomorrow we're going. So you must see the excitement, almost feel the excitement. It's a whole nation knowing that tomorrow we're going. So that's, it's like when you go on a holiday. I always remember this when we go to South Africa. I could hardly ever sleep those evenings before we left, because we always had to leave early, and mother was preparing the food. It's that type of atmosphere that was hanging around. And I want to share on that this morning, is that for some of us, and we'll talk about that, is, but God is saying, I want you to go now. I want you to go and possess your land now. It's long enough, and we can be Christians, and we can serve God, but there will be an area in our lives, or there can be an area in our lives where we're still in bondage. And I believe Jesus is saying, but we're going to go tomorrow. Get your stuff ready. I want you to leave that thing behind. Amen? Are you with me? All right. Verse 14. Now this day will be a memorial to you. I'm going to come back to this word memorial again. But it's important for us that when God gives us breakthroughs in our lives, that we don't treat it like we treat any other thing in our lives. We forget about it. It's important to that when you're in a dip, that you remember some breakthrough in your life, somewhere. Amen. I'll come back to that. Now this day will be a memorial to you, and you shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You are to celebrate as a permanent ordinance. You shall also observe the feast of the unleavened bread, for on this very day I brought your host out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a permanent ordinance. Verse 24, and you shall observe this event as an ordinance for you and your children forever when you enter the land which the Lord will give you, as he has promised. You shall observe this rite. Okay, I said that again. But God is telling them, please, make an effort with this. Try and see what I'm going to do here. I'm going to take you out of here. This is not just some normal day, but I actually want you to go and do what I've called you to do, to go and conquer and go and possess the land that I've given you. And sometimes in our lives, we need a pastor or a small group leader or a somebody that's a leader over you or that's your spiritual mentor, whatever, that will just tell you, okay, you know, I've heard enough about this habitual sin of yours, this thing that you're struggling with. Because there's only so much that one can do, and that's just one of Moses' faults. People always looked towards him for breakthrough. At a stage like this, a good pastor will tell you, okay, are you going now? Are you going to make your mind up about this thing, and you're going to go and possess what God has given you? Is everybody still here with me? Okay, now today, I want to share that if we embark on this thing, God has spoken to us and we're on our Christian walk, there's sometimes things that distract us. Hulle trek ons 'n bietjie skeef. Daar's goeters wat ons oë vang en dan gaan ons in 'n ander rigting in. And it can sometimes be people that are very spiritual and super saved and all those things, but we do get distracted. And I want to just highlight a few things on what distracted the Israelites. Now, let's not think about the Israelites as those thin, sinful people that could never hear God's voice. And we're not like them. We are like them. And it's important for us to see what they struggled with. But before I get to that, sometimes we preach the wrong gospel. We say to people that when you give your life to Jesus Christ, it's all hunky-dory, bed of roses type of thing. And who can vouch that it is not like that? Okay, well, amen. It is not always like that. You know, there's still a whole journey to go through. And there are enemies, and there are potholes. There's just lots of things. It's not a plain sailing type of road. But it is important to know that if you're not sure that God has called you somewhere, if you're not sure that God has given you a promise, that where you must go to, the pothole distracts you. The pothole gives you the impression, where is God? Amen. But if you know that this is just the pothole in the middle, but I'm actually going there, then it is easier to overcome that thing. Amen. So for some of us this morning, I just want to say that you need to hear from God what is His promise for your life. I can't tell you what He's promised for you. I can maybe pray and I can get some direction, but until that thing sinks into your heart that this is what God has called me for. To be distracted by a pothole, to get angry at God because why am I this pothole thing just karam nou nie uit my kop uit nie. But then it is easy for us to say, but why God? When God? What happened here? And for me in my life, now I'm going to share something that I... But my father died of some lung sickness that they couldn't actually even diagnose what it was. Now, and we prayed for him and all that stuff and he did not get healed. Now, if I did not know, and I'm not being arrogant here, but if I did not know God's heart and that God really has called me and my family and that He's not forsaken us and all that stuff, if I had any doubt about, around those issues... At that moment in my life, I would have been one of those angry people that say God does not exist. But miraculously, I have to add, somehow the family and everything was closer. Somehow my relationship with God is closer. Now, one day I will ask God, but in a nice way, why not? And your Lord, why didn't He get healed? And maybe what was your plan? And maybe the answer that I get won't be the one that I want. But I know, because it has sunk into my heart, that my God is a good God. And what He has for me is good. Now, I don't know why stuff happens along the way, but I was focused on a promise and the thing sinked into my heart. Amen. Let me, Exodus 3 verse 3 and 10. Moses would not have been able, goodness, read that story. I would have been out of there long ago and say, Lord, you lead me. Hello? Wat nou gebeur? You lead these people, but they're driving me crazy. I can't lead these people. They're too stubborn and stiff-necked and dikvellig and ek weet wat se goed alles is. But if Moses was never called and if God never gave him the promise and said, Moses, this is God, I'm speaking to you, he would not have been able to make it. This is what happened to Moses. And for some of us, it needs to happen in our lives. Now, I must add here, I think I added it here, my notes, that I don't want to, men are normally these type of people that need the big plans and need the goals and the visions. Or maybe it's just in marriage, it works like that. My wife is not so concerned about all the big plans. She just wants to be a good wife and a good mother and all that stuff. But I cannot focus and operate if people tell me just relax and that's just be happy or whatever. I need to know that we're going somewhere, and if I don't get there, I get frustrated. So what I'm going to share now, for women it might be a little bit different than for men. Men need this goal. Amen. Is it typical, man, she says. God made us like that. Please don't try and change us. It'll just frustrate the living daylights out of you. Okay. The same for men. Amen. We shouldn't change. Try and change them. Really humbles us. So Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight. Why the bush is not burned up. This is the where Moses had an visitation from God at the burning bush. Now, verse 3, Moses goes and checks out what happens. But in verse 10, God tells Moses, Moses, this is your promise. Moses, this is what you must do. If Moses did not have this in his life, Moses would not make it. If we don't have, for all of us, if we don't have that thing that God says, this is what I'm promising you to do. This is what I'm promising you to take you towards. The potholes and the stuff in the middle will distract you. Therefore, come now and I will send you to Pharaoh so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. That was Moses' promise. That was the thing that carried Moses throughout all these things, throughout the desert. And for us, I must start here this morning. I might say that some of us might get frustrated in our lives and our walk with God. But the first thing that you have to sort out is, what did God tell you? Don't come and ask me what he told you. I can pray for you a little bit. But what is he telling you? Where does he want you to go to? Why are you here? Why are you in Swakopmund? What are you doing here? Is it still? But it's not, I must admit, Swakopmund must be one of the most amazing places to stay in on earth. But I can tell you, if you're a Christian and you're only here for the surf or the whatever, then the weather is not so nice. But if you're only here for this lifestyle, guess what? You'll get frustrated. Somewhere along the line, you'll ask God, you'll get discouraged. Because if you're living for that, it won't carry you. Amen. Okay, that's where I wanted to start. Some of the things that distract us. Some of the things that kniehalter us. Don't know what that is in English. One is impatience. I think this primarily speaks to men. But maybe women. Maybe there are some of you women that are not perfect. That was a joke. You must laugh about it. Maybe some women are not perfect. Then you might struggle with this. Exodus 32 verse 1 and 7. Now, before we read this passage, Moses, they went through the Red Sea. God delivers them. The Egyptians all die. They go to Mount Sinai and God is there on the mountain and he speaks to Moses for 40 days. They can see that God is there. He's speaking to his people. He's been doing all these miracles and they can't hold out for 40 days. Because Moses went up to the mountain, he didn't come down, and they become impatient. And sometimes in our lives, God promises something. And then the time span that we have in mind is normally a week. At most. Or like 3 days, Lord. You said, I'll get married. You mean, I've been waiting for 2 weeks now? You said, you know, whatever God says. But you promised, and we like microwaves. 2 minutes, ding, finished. Or we like barbecues. We even have batiri briquette stuff. We don't burn kameel during hout anymore. It's all quickly, finnig. So we expect God to answer quickly. And we get impatient. But Lord, you said, ooh, I was bad with this. I was living in Windhoek, also wanted to get married. Man. You know, you've got words and you print them and you paste them and you prophesy them and but there's no wife, Lord. So then I had to come to the desert. But this, they told Heidi the same thing. Heidi, why are you coming back? Where are you going to find your husband? In church, right here. That's where I found her. There, she was playing flute there. But I did see her surfing. So at first I was very intimidated by Heidi surfing, because she could surf really big waves, and I was gradually, you know, getting more confident. So that's a real humbling experience right there. Exodus 32 verse 1 to 7. Now when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, they could see there was a cloud over the mountain. God is there, but still they got impatient. The people assembled about Aaron and said to him, come, make us a God who will go before us. And for this Moses, the man who brought us from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. Verse 7. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, go down at once, for your people whom you brought up for the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. Sometimes God does promise something, but there are these quiet spiritual moments in your life. It's like a desert, spiritually speaking. You don't hear so clearly God saying, okay, you know, I promised this, we're now at step 3. You can chill, at least we're taking steps forward. Now, sometimes you don't hear anything. And then you're thinking, okay, I'm impatient. Then one gets impatient. But what is also important for me to realize here, and I want to say this to everybody here, but especially if you're a leader in the church or so on, that if people become too dependent on you to get their spiritual food, on me, it's a bad situation, bad place, not good. It's better for them to tell them, take a holiday, get away from me or from small groups or whatever, but just stop relying on us. Now that's a difficult one, because one wants to help and so on, but I must help you to hear God's voice. We must help you to hear God's voice for yourself. Because when you're in that desert time when God doesn't speak, you know, I also don't have an answer. We don't have an answer, but you get it from God yourself. So it's, okay, impatience was one. And we were at that wedding yesterday, and sometimes, you know, it's a conservative, what should one call it, wedding. Conservative church, but I'm so blessed by how they do certain things. You know, because we charismatic people can be so impatient. We always preach that this is the power of the hour, and God must come through in this hour. This type of message. Those people are steadfast. This dominee that preached yesterday, prachtig, just said that one of the things that I can remember from him is, if you want a relationship with God, you must have a relationship with His Word. End of story. No miracles. That's it. Do that and it will work. But sometimes, charismatic people, we want a breakthrough now, and we want to be healed now, and we want to hear God's voice now. And those people are so nice and steadfast, at least. You know, they're just going somewhere and at a steady speed and pace, and they're going to get there. And we want to rush there, and then we get all... I mean, you see, impatience. The second one here is being unthankful. Numbers 11 verse 1. I must hurry up now. Now the people became like those who complain of adversity in the hearing of the Lord. And when the Lord heard it, His anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. I think impatience and unthankfulness goes hand in hand. Now let's go to the next one. The lack of memorials in our lives. I said we must remember that scripture where it speaks of a memorial. Something that you built so that we can see. What does this heap of rocks mean? This means God brought us through the Red Sea. Now it's not going so well with us. We're struggling, but can you remember this? Do you remember what He did? And I can ask anyone here, and you can be shy, whatever, but has God given you a breakthrough somewhere in your life? And all of us has a yes. It might be small for you, it might be big for you, but there is something in your life that should be a memorial. Dit moet 'n ding wees wanneer jy kan kyk en kan sien, maar die Here het deurgekom vir my. So now it's not going all that well, but look, That's why they built these memorials, so that their children and children could see this is what God did for us. Deuteronomy 1 verse 29 to 30. Then I said to you, do not be shocked, nor fear them. The Lord your God, who goes before you, will himself fight on your behalf, just as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. Exodus 17, 13 and 16. Moses built an altar and named it to the Lord, named it, the Lord is my banner. And he said, the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war against Amalek from generations to generations. I believe that word, the Lord is my banner, is the Lord Tzidkenu. Anyway, it just means it's like a banner you put up somewhere and it waves. It's there, it's got a message on it. This is what my God did. Hierdie is my Here, hy kom deur vir my. And sometimes in our lives, when we're in a tough time, think back to some of the things, remember those things. It's really an insult for us to quickly complain about things, but last week there was a financial breakthrough. Now we're complaining again. I think it's an insult to God. It's like in any relationship, if the man constantly picks on his wife, but you never do this and you never do this, you know, at least she makes your supper every night. Keep quiet. You know, be thankful for what you have. And in our lives, are you with me? Can you see this? You know, maybe they always say men make such a big scene when we do actually braai the meat. Have you seen that joke? They say the women make the food every day and then we have a braai. But the only thing the men does is maybe put it on the fire. That's all. And turn the meat. But the meat gets prepared and the table gets set. Everything's still by the wife. And we think, whoa, breakthrough. And it's just, we actually just put on there because we enjoy the fire. Amen. So for some of us here this morning, we must just go back to that place because we want to pray like this, Lord. That's why the Bible says, come to into my presence with thanksgiving. Just start your prayer with saying, Lord, thank you for my beautiful wife. Thank you for this. Because we have so much. And then we can ask God for other things. But let's not just come into his presence and say, ah, everything is wrong. And you're not coming through. Amen. Okay. I'm almost there, people. Then you can go and have the rest of your long weekend. The heading of this message is Wanderer or Conqueror? And at any time of your life, you can decide, are you a wanderer? Does that make sense? In the desert, you wander. There's this, I don't know if it's a tribe, but they call themselves the gypsies. They travel everywhere. They've never got an inheritance somewhere. They can never settle down, and this is our land, we stay here. And as Christians, you can be very blessed, but still be cruising in the desert. Or you can be like God calls us to be, conquerors. Now, the word sin means to miss the mark. Now, if you've got a dartboard, sin does not mean you smoke or you drink. That stuff will make you miss the bullseye of God's promise for your life. Sin means missing the mark. You throw and it's not a bullseye. God has got a bullseye for all of us. God has got a plan and he wants that for us. Sin distracts us, makes us unholy. We don't have a relationship with God and we shoot off. That's what sin means. And this morning I want to talk to you about, you can find yourself, you can profess that you serve Jesus Christ and all that stuff, but you can be in a desert. You can be running around in a desert. And this morning, I would like God to do something in our hearts that says, maybe we are in a desert, but we're going to decide we're going to go there at least. And then we stop being wanderers and we start becoming conquerors in our lives. Amen. A wanderer's mentality. Numbers 14 verse 8 to 9. If the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us. A land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord. And do not fear the people of the land. For they will be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. This was only two people's summary of when Moses sent out people to go and spy on the promised land. He told the spies, go up and check out the land that God has promised. Two came back and said this. The rest said, we shouldn't go there. It's full of enemies. This is verskriklik. We're not going to make it. They're enemies. They're going to fight us. They're going to beat us. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. And if you actually look at the map of Israel, I've got this book with maps where they traveled from. It was from the very dry of Israel to the top where it rains from 100 millimeters to 1,000 millimeters. It's like going from here to Katima Mulilu. It is a promised land. Stuff grows there at least. You know, like we're struggling with our garden. My wife needs to clean those little plants and every day unless nothing grows. So the spies moved up there. They could see this. But some of them only saw enemies. Two came back and said, you know what? We remember when Jesus brought us, when God brought us through the Red Sea, there's a cloud following us wherever we go. God is with us. Yes, there are enemies, but I believe God is going to take me through to that. Now, a wanderer, somebody that wanders, mentality is not that. They only see the trouble. A conqueror sees potential. Amen. Numbers 33, verse 35. Partial blessing. But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come about that those whom you let remain of them will become as pricks in your eyes and as thorns in your side, and they will trouble you in the land in which you live. This was the reason we always think God was just this vicious person that wanted to drive and kill everything. God wanted to drive out those nations, nations that just served all kinds of other gods, abominable things, because he did not want them to influence his people. Now, what I want to say here this morning, if we're a wanderer, there's stuff that bothers us. It's like a partial blessing. Sometimes you can hear people's stories, and the Lord has blessed me, but... Now, God's heart is for there to be no buts. No partial blessings. Full blessings. All blessings, with no influence from the enemy. But guess what? If you stay in the enemy's territory, there can only be partial blessing. There can't be complete blessing because you must get out of me. Amen. And what I'm talking about here, this full blessings, because I must get this charismatic thing also out of our brains, because the conservative people, churches can tell us a lot more about these things. Because if we hear blessings, we think money. Or, I don't know, but that's what you get heard preached over lots of TV stations. Yeah, blessings and breakthroughs and Ferraris and stuff. And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not speaking about that we all must be millionaires tomorrow. That is full blessing. I actually do think that God, I fully believe it. Go to Quinton's financial ministry thing. I think that the financial wealth in one's life is an overflow of the right relationship on the inside with God. I am fully convinced that my God wants me to be blessed. But what I'm speaking mostly of here, this partial versus full blessing is let's take a family as an example. God wants peace to reign in houses. You know, that's why, now maybe it's not so bad, but in America or wherever, sorry Kent, but in Europe, they try and break down the family structure. You know, now you can get, and I don't know if I should say this, but you can get married, same sexes, all that stuff. It destroys families. And the whole of a nation is built on the stability of families. So what I'm talking about here, this complete blessing, is that I don't care how much money you have, God, I'm not speaking everybody must be millionaires, but it's just that peace reigning in families. That's just one example. Where a child can grow up and he does not have to go through all our foundations, 1, 2, 3, 4, to serve God with his whole heart. Because the stuff, the foundations, the deliverance is supposed to happen in the house. That's where my kids will get spankings. And praise Jesus, I don't think it's illegal yet here. But I will sort him out before he goes into the world. It's this type of blessing that I'm speaking of. Relational blessings. Marriages. Renewed, restored. In Jesus' name, this is what God wants us. I love it when people come to us and with all these problems. That means it's a healthy church. Because where else should the people run to? They must run here. And then we sort them out. No, then we trust God to give the full blessing, to drive the enemy out. Amen. Next one, where am I? Okay, look, listen to this. Deuteronomy 2, verse 14 to 18. Now the time that it took for us to come from Kadesh Barnea. That's maybe Issachar's. Until we crossed over the brook Zered was 38 years. How long did the Israelites wander in the desert? 40. Now the time that it took for us to come from Kadesh Barnea until we crossed over to the brook Zered was 38 years. Until all the generation of the men who war perished from within the camp as the Lord had sworn to them. Moreover, the hand of the Lord was against them to destroy them from within the camp until they all perished. The 16. So it came about when all the men of the war had finally perished from among the people that the Lord spoke to me saying, today you shall cross over Ar, the border of Moab. We can decide 38 years versus 2 years. For 38 years, nothing happened. Nothing really happened. They could have traveled from Egypt into the promised land, I think, within 2 years. But for 38 years, was it a rondlopery, tyd mors, time wasting. In our lives, we can decide, am I part of the 38? Am I part of the wandering? Or am I part of the 2 years? After this, in 2 years, they were in the promised land. So it's not like they're not trying to travel from Israel to Vladivostok in Russia on the other side of, it's not like it was a distance thing. It was simply a mentality, a mind thing, saying, I'm not part of the 38 years. I'm part of the 2 years. Amen? And in our lives, it can mean for you this morning that you might not know Jesus Christ. Your whole life, I'm sorry to say, but will be a wandering. It might be some partial blessings. For some people, you might believe in Jesus Christ, but your life is full of compromise, full of stuff that God does not want there. I want to tell you, you will wander, and it's what the Bible says. You will wander. You'll be a gypsy. There might be some blessing, but it won't be what God has called you for. But you can decide. And within 2 years, you'll be in the promised land. I'm not saying 2 years. You understand what I'm saying? It's not about time. You can decide. And for some of us, it might be that we serve God and all those things, but it just means that we must renew, or make Mark Aaron's Mediere. Go and sit at his feet and say, Lord, you said this is what I'm supposed to accomplish in life. This is what you've called me to go there and to accomplish this. Lord, I'm a bit distracted, but get me out of this desert mentality. Get me out of this one. I want to go. There's various ways, and some of us might just be cool and we're all good. We're serving God, and I don't want everybody to run out of here now. And you must get a word from the Lord. Sometimes, like the conservative church, just do the right thing. Keep on doing the right thing. That's how people win wars. They don't win it with one battle. Hulle wen, hulle het 'n groot strategie en hulle sorry ding uit. Where am I now? Okay. We're almost finished. Deuteronomy 2:24. Now, if you look at in that previous passage, when the Israelites, they sinned, and then God said, you will not go into the promised land. And that's why they wandered for 38 years. And that's why God wanted that generation to die out, for the new generation to come in. But look at what happens. They're still in the enemy's territory. But look at what starts to happen the moment they are focused on the promised land and the moment they start going there. Everything changes. Arise, set out, and pass through the valley of Arnon. Look, I've given Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land into your hand. Begin to take possession and contend with him in battle. Verse 30. But Sihon, king of Heshbon, was not willing for us to pass through the land, for the Lord your God hardened his spirit and made his heart obstinate in order to deliver him into your hand as he is today. From a mentality of where they just lose all the time, now they're like looking forward to battles because now God's going to deliver them into our hands. Can you see the change that one needs to happen in your life? You can be in the enemy's territory and the Amorites and the Moabites, they beat you. You make a change in your mind. The next day, you start beating them. The next day, when you walk with God, the next day, when you focus on the promised land, now God says, okay, now I'm going to help you. Just go there and these people in front of you, I'll sort them out. I'll get them out of the way. The Lord said to me, see, I have begun to deliver Sihon and his land over to you. Begin to occupy that you may possess his land. There is a different anointing. The moment, and I want to say this to fathers in the house. I wrote this down there. But not only to fathers. Sometimes the only thing that keeps a house from being blessed is the father not taking spiritually charge over that house. Saying that the demons and the devil must now get out of my household. And that does not mean that you can quote the Bible front to back and all that stuff. You must know the Bible. No, it just means, as the father of the house, now you take charge. You take charge over your family. You pray over them and you say that the devil will not touch them. You take charge over your finances. And, you know, sometimes we must just stop complaining and say, Lord, thank you for what you've given us, but I take charge now. I'm going to conquer now. Amen? Okay, I'm almost finished. The last, I need to read a passage. Numbers 20. Verse 14 to 27. Now Moses sent messages from Kadesh to the king of Edom. Thus says your brother Israel, you know all the hardship that has befallen us. How our fathers went down to Egypt, and we dwelt in Egypt a long time, and the Egyptians afflicted us and our fathers. Then we cried out to the Lord. He heard our voice and sent the angel and brought us up out of Egypt. Now here we are in Kadesh, a city on the edge of your border. Please, please, let us pass through your country. We will not pass through fields or vineyards, nor will we drink water from wells. We will go along the king's highway. We will not turn aside to the right hand or to the left until we have passed through your territory. Then Edom said to him, you shall not pass through my land, lest I come out against you with the sword. So the children of Israel said to him, we will go by the highway. And if I or my livestock drink any of your water, then I will pay for it. Let me only pass through on foot, nothing more. Then he said, you shall not pass through. So Edom came out against them with many men and with strong hand. Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his territory. So Israel turned away from him. Now that story is a sad story. That is not the type of nation that God wanted. Begging, can we please go? And then they weren't even allowed. Many of us are in a place where we beg. We have got partial blessing. We don't have the full blessing. The last scripture, Deuteronomy 2 verse 7. Mark maybe. For the Lord your God has blessed you in all. This is a bit of a curveball. You know when the ball in cricket, the ball swings, it catches you off guard. For the Lord your God has blessed you in all that you've done. He has known your wanderings through his great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord your God has been with you. You have not lacked a thing. What do I want to say with this scripture? That you can be in the desert and God will bless you. But that's not where God wants you. Because God loves us. He will always protect us and keep us. But the desert is not where you're supposed to be. There's a whole new level of breakthroughs and partnering with God that He actually wants us to get to. Now, I don't know where we are differently in our spiritual walk with God, but I just sense, you know, that for some people we must, and I don't want to condemn anybody, I just want to bless you and say, decide 38 years or 2 years, part of which one are you? Because you can be in the desert, but in 2 years' time, in almost a tenth or a fifth or whatever of the time, God can bring you through to your promised land, to whatever it is that God wants you to bless. Let's stand. I just want to something I wanted to share here. I said it earlier. Different people here this morning. For one, you are really in the desert because you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now the first thing is that you must actually pass through the Red Sea, symbolizing, you know, being born again as a Christian. What does it mean? Why do we always talk about this born again as a Christian? Being a Christian does not mean, like I was, growing up in a Christian home, going to church, thinking I was a good person. Being born again means your spirit inside of you gets born again and you start having a relationship with God. So for some of us here this morning, maybe, that is the first step that needs to be taken, is surrendering, like Lucilio said, surrendering what we have and saying, Lord, I take. Then there's just another example. Paul was driving on his horse to Damascus and God had to stop him and say, Paul, what are you doing? I've called you to be my apostle. For some of us, maybe that's what needs to happen. You might be a Christian, you might be serving God, but it's just where God speaks to you. And we can trust that God speaks to you now, but most probably, like He does with me, He'll speak to you somewhere where you seek His face. But just so that you can know what is God's purpose for my life. So that when the stuff comes, when the enemy comes, we have a mentality of a conqueror and not a wanderer. We have a mentality of looking at this thing, at the problem and saying, oh, that's all right, at least I know where I'm going. Not like staring the enemy in the face and saying, oh, I don't know where to go to. It's just this shift in our minds. Amen. So let's bow our heads. If there's anybody here this morning that want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you're saying that you believe in Jesus, but you know that you're compromising. You are not really serving God the way He wants you to serve Him. Lucilio said it. We must surrender. He's our Lord and Master. I don't tell Him how I serve Him. He tells me. But I can tell you this morning, it's blessed. Because He's a loving God. I love serving Him. Because He's gentle. His Holy Spirit is gentle. Is there anybody here this morning? Let's bow our heads. If you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior for the very first time, would you put up your hand quickly? Is there anybody? And then I want to pray just for those. I'd also like you to come forward. If you want prayer in this area of, you don't want to be a 38 years type person. You want to be a 2 years. Maybe you're in the desert now, but you want to at least move. I'm going to ask those people to just come forward quickly. We're going to pray for you. Are there any people that want prayer? Amen. We're going to wait here. We're going to close off now, but if you want prayer, stay, and we'll pray for you afterwards. Father, we thank You, and we declare and prophesy that we're conquerors in Jesus' name, Lord. We're not wanderers. Lord, and we know what You've called us individually and this church to accomplish. And we're humbled by Your plans because it's big and we just see enemies. But this morning we decide that we will look towards You. You are strength and You will pull us through this. Father, I pray this morning that You will take people out of the desert. where we are, sometimes even blessed in the desert, but that's not where you want us. That you will make things uncomfortable for us and take us out of that. Father, we thank you that with all said, that your heart is to love us. You're jealous after us. You love us so much, and this is why you're sharing this stuff with us. So we're not going to feel condemned here. We feel convicted, Father, but we embrace this. And we say, Lord, thank you for where you're taking us. Father, and close off this meeting now, and I pray that you'll bless everyone. This bless this long weekend, Father, and everybody will drive home safely in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you